At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Oh, we've got quite a show in store for you. I'm sure you're going to love it. We have some very special international guests on the line who we'll introduce to you shortly. But first, of course, I know you've all been anxiously awaiting your quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. Don't let the dazzling heights you aspire to scare you from getting started. After all, few climb Mount Everest tomorrow, though virtually all could begin preparing. Gopal, the universe. Ah, we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Having a little fun with us today, but also making an important point about how, you know, there's such important work for us to do. There's so many dreams, hopes, desires to fulfill in a lifetime that sometimes they seem so huge, so large that we get intimidated to even begin. And really, that's the most important part, to just start, to just begin, to act as if they're not that big, to act as if the universe has your back and will support you all the way. Just act as if everything's going to be okay, and believe it or not, it actually will. And let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. If you intend to be of assistance, your eye is not upon the trouble, but upon the assistance, and that is quite different. When you are looking for a solution, you are feeling positive emotion, but when you are looking at a problem, you are feeling negative emotion. Abraham. Another wonderful, wonderful quote, and this really kind of gets to the heart of Abraham's teachings about how we need to really be very solution-focused in order to bring about that solution, in order to, in Abraham's terms, vibrate at our highest level. And, you know, we all have a tendency to think like, oh my God, this person's in such a dire situation and I have to help them. Oh my God, what are we going to do about this horrible situation? And we tend to focus too much on the trouble. And really, that focus should be a second or two. It should be, oops, there's an issue, there's a problem, there's something to deal with, there's something we got to work on. That should be very little. We should give our attention to that very, very little amount of time. And then we should immediately switch to, okay, what do we do about this? What's the solution? How do we work it out? Where do we go from here? You know, what's the plan? What's the action steps we need to take? Because when we shift our focus from what the real issue is to what can be done about it and what the solution can be, we immediately make an energetic shift in our consciousness from like the, oh my God, isn't this awful? This is horrible, you know, sort of state of mind, which actually shuts us down from being creative and finding solutions. And that the more we look at a situation and the more we, you know, talk about how awful it is and how bad it is, you know, it just doesn't feel good in your body. And it just, it literally shuts down access to neural pathways in our brain that disconnects us from finding the solutions, which is what we really want to do anyway, isn't it? I mean, nobody wants to just sit around and wallow in a problem and an issue they're having and in what's going on. We really, what we really want to do is find a way to get out of that situation and get to where we ultimately want to go. And the way we do that is really by focusing on seeing what is, where do we want to go? What is the solution to this? What would we like to see happen? You know, how do we resolve this issue at work, with our health, or in our relationships? You know, what would it look like if this challenge was resolved? What would it look like? And when we focus on that, then our brain has an image, has a goal, has something that it can now work towards. And we kind of reverse engineer the solution without realizing it. It's kind of like, okay, this is where I am, but this is where we want to be. And so now how do we work backwards? How do we get to where we want to be from where we are? And then the mind starts working towards, okay, there are this step, that step, this step. There are all these different possibilities. It really is like just a really intricate chess game. If we know the solution is to, you know, checkmate the opponent, but every step of the way there are all these different possibilities, so we kind of search through those possibilities to figure out, well, what's the best step? But the thing is, we're not computers, right? We're human beings. We have instinct. We have, you know, we do have our intellect, but we also have our hearts, and we have our spirits, and we have our intuition. We have this intangible quality that allows us to sort of feel our way through without having to necessarily intellectually analyze every single step. But that ability, that process, can often be hindered when we are, you know, focused on the wrong things, when we are just so focused on what's wrong and what's not happening and what's not working, that then we don't really see the way forward. But when we do, you know, when we say, oh my God, you know, this is a crisis in the office, and we've got this problem and we've got to get it solved, and we keep focusing on what's the solution, what's the solution, what's our solution, our brain will find that answer for us, and it will bubble up from the unconscious, and we will have access to all kinds of amazing things. So I hope that was helpful. Of course, we love our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. And of course, we'll have more for you next week. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome from across the pond, as they say in England, Jill Duca, who is a highly sought after, internationally renowned speaker and number one best-selling author of the book Create Love, an awarded mentor by the European Union, and one of the first European speakers at two different TEDx events in both Asia and Europe. She is Greek and Canadian and has trained, coached, and mentored thousands of people in Europe, in the United States, and in Asia. She appears regularly on TV and radio shows internationally and travels extensively throughout the world with her husband, Nicholas Uranus, who is also on the line with us. And Nicholas himself is a number one best-selling author, a relationship expert, inspirational speaker, and an in-demand marriage mentor. Ooh, he is the founder of the Academy of Relationship, and together with his guest specialists, they train thousands of people in creating happy relationships without an expiration date. Ooh, I like that. No expiration date. Nicholas appears in Greek and Cypriot TV shows and writes articles for Greek and Cypriot magazines. Jill, Nicholas, welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour.
Hey, Sam. It's amazing to be here with you.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Nicholas. Well, I mean, I'm really excited about today's show because one of my favorite topics is really relationships, because they are everything for us as human beings, because we have a relationship to everything, don't we?
Yeah. It's amazing how everything is formed by relationships. And also, Sam, when our relationship, especially our intimate, you know, our romantic relationships fall apart,
right,
when we see that how much it has impact in our lives, So many people are not functioning well. You know, they can't concentrate, or there's too much sadness. You know, there's too much doom around all this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have a friend who worked at this kind of like data analysis company for the pharmaceutical industry, and she was telling me once about how she was having this really hard time because one of the managers there had just gotten divorced. They had two small kids, and he was really having a hard time dealing with it, and it really affected his performance at work. And while they tried, apparently, they were fairly understanding at the office, and they gave him time and gave him extra time off and everything, but still, it was so devastating to him that he really wasn't able to perform his functions at work, and they ended up having to let him go, even though they didn't really want to let him go, but it was hurting the productivity of everyone around him, and it was hurting them, their ability to really deliver on some projects.
You know, Sam, the truth is that a romantic relationship is superior to all other relationships in a person's life. Mm. Regardless of how unique and successful we are of going, or we're going to become on a professional and social level, there will always be something missing if we are not happy and don't feel wholeness in our personal relationships.
Yeah.
These are the most important because they are the result of a triple connection. They are the only ones that require the connection of the body, the mind, and the soul. And so is a relationship that functions as a mirror. It's through this relationship that both partners can mirror each other, their flaws and the good qualities of their personalities, and make it one of the most intensive lessons in our lives.
Right. Yeah, you know, they say if somebody is "quote unquote" happy at home, then they're happy in all aspects of their life.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. And this is a big challenge that we now face because, you know, there is the 50% of people who are married are ending up in a divorce.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I've heard that statistic since I was a little kid. I mean, it hasn't shifted or changed at all much over the years. I mean, you know, over the last 50 years, divorce rates are still basically like between 50 and 51%. It's amazing.
You're right. You know, Sam, the reason why this doesn't change is because we have many in schools, you know, in school, we go to school, we have many teachers, you know, in primary school, in secondary school, in high school, many teachers that can teach us various aspects and various classes. But when it comes to relationships, the only teachers that we have are two throughout our lives, and those are our parents.
Yeah.
So whatever we have learned from our parents, this is what we carry around for the rest of our lives. And if we like it, you know, and if we approve of it, we take it and we believe that that's the correct way to be, you know, in a relationship. And sometimes if we don't approve of it, we are ending up doing completely the opposite stuff. But the challenge here is that over 80% of the families are dysfunctional. So what we learn and what we carry around is wrong. And then we find another person who has been raised by another dysfunctional family, and they believe that what they know is correct. And then the big war begins.
I could just feel like thousands of my listeners cringing when you said, you know, it's our relationships are kind of based on seeing how our parents had their relationship. I could just feel in the airwaves like people were cringing, like, what? You mean my relationship is dictated by how my parents had a relationship? Oh my God. Great. Well, okay, so Jill and Nicholas, you gave us a lot of information to right out of the gate. There's a lot of things that I want to cover over this hour, but it's time for us to take a very quick commercial break. So when we come back, Jill, I want to start talking about your book, Create Love, and kind of what its real message is. And I really want to talk, Nicholas, to get to that idea of not having an expiration date. And maybe we should have expiration dates on our relationships. I don't know. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant, and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking this hour with relationship experts Jill Duca and Nicholas Ouranos, hailing all the way from Greece. Are you guys in Greece today, or you're somewhere else today?
we are in Greece. Nicholas just came back from Singapore, actually.
Oh, wow.
He did the first presentation of our book, Create Love.
wonderful. I want to talk about Create Love, but I just want to start off, Jill, asking you, like, your background really is not as much in relationships as it is in business originally, wasn't it? Weren't you like a business consultant for many years?
Yes. I worked with many Fortune 500 companies, training and development consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started coaching, in these companies, and where I finally wanted to, coach also people who are not working the corporate level. And I found great interest, Sam, into coaching entrepreneurs. So it was fascinating for me in the beginning, supporting those people to build up their companies and being able actually to create value, earn money by doing what they love. Right. And that was something that I love. But after a certain time, Sam, I was coaching them. And then suddenly they were, when the company was going in a fair way, it was developing, they were asking me to help them find their romantic partner.
I was wondering, like, how do you make that transition from business to relationship expert? I see. So people were looking for you to fix them up, huh?
Yes, I didn't. The first time actually was a shock for me, because it was a shock. But then the word came out that I was helping them, and the people started referring me, one to each other. I started having people that got married after the coaching that they got from me, leaving very, very, very toxic relationships and finding, healthy relationships. And now I find myself to be invited into christenings of little children, all over the world. It was something that I didn't go after. But actually, it came to me.
Right.
So from an awarded business mentor from the European Union, I wrote the book, Create Love, because all those people were asking for one place to find all the useful information that, you know, we were doing in the coaching session.
I see. So where did the title Create Love come from?
It's from the definition, it comes from the definition of love, the new age definition that we believe that we have, we're in love, we have to be creative, of course.
Uh-huh.
And three other things, we have to be in respect, in admiration, and in communication.
Mm-hmm. So why do...
So it's something that is very active and proactive also.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing static that we are standing here and we are waiting for someone to came from outside, our other half. It's not about our half. It's about our whole. We have to be active. We have to become a whole personality with self-respect, self-creation, self-admiration, and self-communication, and then to attract in this active scheme the person that will have give us the lesson of love.
So you're saying love isn't really something that we just receive. Love is something that we create. It's something that we need to be an active participant in and not just kind of be a passive observer of.
Yeah, there is an orbit here. There is an orbit and their passion, their feelings, their interesting emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, Sam, that the new definition of love that Nicholas talks about is not about falling in love anymore. So we've been there, we've done that, because when you fall, then you have to get up. what we're discussing about is about how we can create love, and the creation of love comes first and foremost from ourselves.
So it's really about being the source of love, not looking for it externally.
Definitely.
Yeah,
that's exactly. It's what we support our readers is to, and the people that we coach through the Academy of Relationships.com, is to become fully capable of having real, loving relationships, but through self-love.
Mm-hmm. And all love really starts with self-love, doesn't it? Because if we're not really, if we don't truly love ourselves, you know, how can we show up in a loving way in relationship to someone else?
Yes, this is exactly the same thing. That it's amazing because Dr. John Gray, who has quoted about the book, said that this book actually helps you to find self-love first after going through and, finding out true love. So it's like a circle. If you, Sam, would ask for me, Jill, I would like to have $5,000. You know, if I could lend you $5,000, if I didn't have that amount, would I be able to give it to you?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, but this is what we do. This is what we do. We don't love ourselves, and we go out like beggars, and we request other people to love us. We are asking for something that we don't firstly have. So how can we give it? How can we love someone else if we don't have it?
Right. Yeah, it's like when I coach my clients, I always like to say you can't give from a cup that's half empty. You need to give from a cup that's overflowing, because otherwise you're trying to give from your lack, so it'll never be enough. And it's only in an overabundance of something that you can truly give something and really allowing it to be what the other person really needs to receive.
Exactly. This is a very nice analogy that you're sharing here, Sam.
Right. So why do we have such an issue around self-love? And it's really very interesting to me because in the last year and a half, I find this topic coming up more and more and more in conversations about self-care and self-love, whereas in the past you didn't really hear about it that much, did you?
Because it's the easier one. It's like the way that most of us didn't cook. We love to deliver from outside. To deliver food, to call for delivery food from outside.
Ah.
It's a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that we don't feel the responsibility of our self-love.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to carry this responsibility about the highest, that is the true love, to someone else, outsiders.
Mm. You know, just kind of going back to, you know, what you had said before, Jill, about the parents, about us kind of witnessing the kinds of relationships that our parents had, like that's really where we learned how people relate and supposedly love each other, right? Because if our parents don't love each other, then who else could? And if this is what love looks like for our parents, be it as dysfunctional or maybe only partially dysfunctional, you know, that's what's going to kind of stick with us, is like, well, this is the way I need to be to show someone that I'm loving. You know, if our parents fought all the time, let's say over money or over, it doesn't even matter over what, but if they were just fighting, then we're going to really think from the time we're little kids that fighting is how you show somebody you love them, doesn't it?
Definitely. Fighting, being jealous, blaming, being unfaithful. it's all about the drama hook, Sam.
Hmm.
And all of us have it in a form or, you know, in a size. It just depends upon how much we have seen it. What's very interesting is the fact that we do not know what is healthy, because nobody has taught us
about
healthy communication, about setting healthy boundaries, about setting, having a healthy discussion.
Mm.
We haven't been trained. We have been trained in all other things. I have 5 degrees in different, you know, in different subjects, and nowhere. And how to be with another person, because of course nowhere we check upon the notion of being with ourselves and being happy with ourselves and not looking for happiness outside for a quick fix, but sharing happiness from within.
Right. That, you know, and it's really, I guess, trying to shift that focus from having happiness be something that is what you feel when you get something external, to really happiness is just a state of being that we allow ourselves to experience, right?
Yes, yes. First of all, yeah, I like the, you know, the phrase "allow ourselves to experience" that you use, because actually this is exactly what it is. We don't allow ourselves to experience happiness because we're hooked on negativity. Yeah. I was doing a lecture at the university here in Greece yesterday, and this was the topic, and people were very shocked when I shared that. I'm like, you know, we're programmed like that. We're programmed to see the negative. We're programmed to see the lack.
Mm-hmm.
We're programmed to see that there is not abundance. What a shame is this, but on the other side, Sam, now it's the best time, I think. It's the best time in history that we wake up, actually, and see that nothing external can, you know, actually take us down or lift us up.
Right.
If we really train the mind and our energy and take 100% responsibility for our being, nothing can take us happiness away.
Right. Or in this case, I would assume it's training our heart, isn't it? Okay, well, it's time for us to take another commercial break. This has been great, great information. How about when we come back, we give our audience some tips about how do you start loving yourself? How do you start taking care of yourself emotionally? You know, and maybe we can talk a little bit about what that looks like. And then, you know, from that sort of how then that translates into how does it look like when we show up in a loving way in a relationship? Sound good?
Yes. Sure, that's very good.
Okay, great. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And this hour, we're talking all about creating love with Jill Duca and Nicholas Uranos. And we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we're talking all about creating love. And as we've spoken about in the last couple of segments with Jill and Uranos, it's about sort of self-love first. So Jill, Nicholas, when you mentor and coach people about sort of loving yourself so that you can show up in a loving way, what are usually some first steps? I mean, people aren't really used to this concept of self-love, right? You know, people tend to think you hear self-love, you think, oh, that's selfish, it's self-centered. You know, that's not what we're talking about, is it?
As you some describe, to love our perfect master, we have to love ourselves first. But as it's seen in the book and in our seminars, there are some steps. And the first, and the very, very important step is to commit. To commit to manifesting our perfect match. We have to make the decision. And first of all, we have to commit. Because as we've seen around, there's nothing commitment in these patterns that we bring and put out spouses in our lives. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have to prepare. As everywhere else, we have to do a preparation in our work, in our physics, in our life. We have to prepare ourselves. Perhaps we have to get in a dating detox and to start to create our vision, to make a positive vision about our new relationship, and let after the barista do his job.
Mm-hmm.
And so many important things that we always forget is to be in the gratitude.
Yes, gratitude is very important, isn't it?
Not to feel empty, not to feel alone, because it's a personal decision and a personal commitment now. It's not about loneliness or abandonment, or it's something about commitment and preparation. And of course, if you want to really get in another place, in a better relationship, we have to leave the past in the past, and we have to forgive, to radical forgive, and to learn from our mistakes, because our mistakes, there wasn't mistakes, there were lessons only.
Right. And I'm assuming when you talk about forgiveness, it's not just about forgiving the other person, but it's really about forgiving ourselves as well.
The first step that we described in Create Love, the book, Sam, is exactly this. It's very, very tough to forgive yourself, especially when you are in the victim mode.
Yeah.
So when you believe that you have been wronged by people, or we have been hurt by people, it's very tough. The notion of self-forgiveness is far from that. So we start from forgiving other people, and then we realize at the end, once we have forgiven mostly, you know, our parents, our ex-partners, and people that have really hurt us throughout our life, then we realize that the only person that is vital that we forgive is ourselves. But for forgiveness, I believe that, you know, the steps are first outwards and then inwards, because it's a heavy notion to actually believe that you blame yourself, which is actually what we do on the bottom line. Now we blame ourselves.
So you think it's an outward job first and then an inward job. That's interesting. Most people I know say it's always an inward job first and then an outward job.
This happens for people that are advanced, let's say, in personal development.
Right, okay. Yeah, I guess I'm used to playing in fairly conscious crowds. let's like just come up with an example for our audience so we can make these ideas a little concrete. Let's say a woman comes to you, she found out her husband cheated on her and they're getting a divorce, and she just feels devastated because, you know, it was such a surprise to her, and you know, they were together and everything seemed so great for so long, and now she's like doesn't know how to start over again. How would you kind of recommend she go about, you know, taking those first steps?
So the first step is to take 100% responsibility on what happened in the relationship. And what we say in the Academy of Relationships.com is that it takes two to tango. There is never one person's fault in a relationship. When one relationship falls apart, both people have contributed. Usually the one contributes silently and the other one makes more fuss. So in your case, you know, the case that you described, the one that made fuss was the man, and, you know, the silent one is the lady. But it's vital that we re-examine the relationship and see where we contributed in all the problems that happened. It's important that we keep in mind that everything that happens in a relationship, it's our mirror. So whatever we see in our partner, it has a deep root inside of us. This again is a notion that is quite heavy for people to grasp, but what we expect from others is what we're going to get. And when you really discuss with the people who have been cheated, or, you know, who, it's very obvious that the other person has ruined the relationship, when we really discuss and go in depth, they say, yeah, you're right, I knew it was happening at a certain point, I felt it, I let it happen, I allowed it, and all these things come up. So the first thing is to take 100% responsibility. Then, what we re-examine is the notion of self-love that we discussed before.
Right.
So, where is this person cheating herself? What is she doing that is cheating? And I'm not talking in the way of sexual cheating, you know, or meeting other men.
Right.
I'm talking the broad sense of cheating from the universe, as you nicely were describing Mike Dooley's notes in the beginning.
Right.
She's cheating somewhere.
Yes.
So something is lacking. She doesn't give to herself what she deserves. Something is wrong, and we find with a client what is wrong exactly. So we take 100% responsibility. We see where the person's mirror, where do they do it in themselves, and then we start building on self-confidence, self-love, and as we say, we do a huge strength bombardment. So we have the person to really realize the value that they have, how unique and wondrous they are, and how they can create whatever they really want in their lives. So it's like an energy boost, a strength bombardment. They really need to stand up on their feet. And the only way to stand up on our feet is just to remind ourselves how amazing they are, you know.
Right.
The beginning set, the steps, you know, that we take in the beginning when we have a person who has been off a relationship. And also, Sam, you know what? Cheating, it doesn't automatically bring a breakup.
Absolutely. I know some couples that after there was some kind of infidelity, it just brought to head the issues that were kind of under the surface, and then after working through them, the relationship was stronger than ever. It may have taken some time to repair it, but absolutely, just because there is something like that does not mean it is the end of the relationship.
Yeah. We were discussing this with Marie Diamond. She appears in The Secret, and Marie was very, was very downright on this, and and it was a shock for me. She was like, "If the both people take the responsibility, then the relation doesn't fall apart, after cheating."
Right.
And after a lot of thought and working with many people, I see that too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm also a big believer, and I coach clients as well about taking responsibility for everything in their lives. And, it's so interesting how initially people can really give you pushback on that. And while it is sort of the most empowered stance to take, it's also sort of the scariest because people don't want to take responsibility for all the bad stuff in their life. They're more than happy to take responsibility for the good stuff sometimes, but the bad stuff people don't really want to take responsibility of. And it's so funny to kind of watch it and that, to get people out of this victimhood mentality, it sometimes takes a while because we're just so used to this society teaching us that we are victims and that it's okay to blame someone else or to blame something else. But it's but it's not really until we take responsibility that we can really change the situation and do something about it.
And, it seems like a pattern. And of course, Jill and I, we had these patterns. Jill brought into her life people who didn't want to commit because she was the one who didn't want to commitment. And about my path, I have to say that soon enough I began to lose interest, get bored, and wind about everything. Ultimately bringing every relationship to an end. And if we really define our each personal story, that will help us locate those situations in our lives and to tend to go through them over and over again. It may sound strange, but from the very moment that we see our life's incidents from a distance, we will see the same story repeating itself over and over again. It's very important that we are actually able to see what this story is and how it unfolds. As a result, we aim to change it, so we can end up with a different result, a different story.
Yeah, exactly. That it's really all about the story we're telling ourselves in our head, and that we need to tell ourselves a different story to create a different reality.
Yeah, correct, exactly.
Great. Okay, well, believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last commercial break of the show. Time really flies when you have such interesting guests. So everybody, please stay tuned. When we come back, let's kind of talk about, you know, how we now take what we've learned about relationships, and we really need to apply it to the rest of our lives, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Looking forward.
Yes. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic.
Dude.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we've been talking this hour with Jill Duca and Nicholas Uranus all about creating love as opposed to waiting for love to happen. So, Nicholas, Jill, we've been talking this whole hour so far about, you know, sort of intimate relationships, which are some of the most powerful relationships that we have in our lives. So how do we carry these lessons of taking responsibility and making it a choice and allowing ourselves to feel happy and to allow us to be filled up with how we feel so that we have it to give to someone else? How do we relate that now to the other relationships in our lives that may not be as intimate?
It's exactly the same recipe, Sam. Mm-hmm. So what we do is that we respect and we see other people as our, you know, equals, first of all. We strive to have the best communication that is possible and always be able to share our feelings. And mind that it's vital to be sharing our feelings also in the workplace, Sam, which is something that... the past years was very a huge no-no, but now suddenly everybody says, you know, that it's important that we share what we feel and how we feel and what we actually want in the workplace, because otherwise we're just wearing a mask. We're wearing a mask, but is someone who is not us.
Right.
So creating healthy boundaries and actually saying what we would like to say by respecting other people, of course, not just, you know, throwing out whatever comes into our mind, but based on the mutual respect and understanding, this is the way to go. Otherwise, what happens is that we collect negativity towards the other person. So we collect, and at a certain point, we just burst. We burst, and the other person doesn't know where it came from.
Right.
And I can remember very clearly that I used to do that. I was working in the Winter Olympic Games in Turin in Italy in 2006, and I was responsible for over 1,000 people.
Wow.
Up in the mountains, working for 15 days and below, you know, 0 degrees, it's very, very cold.
Wow.
And I was striving to be kind and and good to everybody, but at a certain point, I just, you know, bursted out. I was like, they didn't know where it was coming. But if you know, from the beginning, I was assertive and I was setting boundaries and I was just stating my truth, then things would be much easier.
I see. Yeah, setting boundaries is something that's very, very important. And letting the other person know, not expecting them to be psychic and like read your minds and say, oh, well, OK, I know that she only wants this or that. It's like you really have to express yourself and not expect the other person or not assume that the other person knows what you're thinking.
Exactly, exactly. All of us, especially women, have that. We assume that the man has to read our mind, you know.
I'm sure Nicholas can attest to that fact. It must happen at least once.
Great test. That's a great test.
Yes, I say that to my wife all the time. I'm like, you know, she's like, well, you didn't do, you know, this or that or the other thing. I was like, well, you never told me. I'm not a mind reader.
We are Mr. Fix it.
Yes.
But they need to be heard,
mm-hmm.
to understand them, not to fix something.
Right. I wanted to just, I don't know if you guys want to do this, but we don't have a lot of time left, but I was wondering if we can maybe also briefly touch upon sort of the parent-child relationship, like as parents, creating that loving relationship with your child, because it is a slightly different dynamic happening than it is between two partners.
Yes. What we see very often, and we really see it, you know, in many, many relationships, is that the parents mirror their challenges, as we said before, to the children. So if we have a parent who's not, you know, in discipline, this comes out to the relationship that they have with their child. If we have a parent who cannot communicate well, this comes out in the relationship with a child. Unfortunately, there are no parenting. They're very rare, you know, parenting classes, and not many people take them.
Yeah.
The child needs two things. The child needs to be loved unconditionally, no matter what, from one side, and the other side needs discipline and boundaries. So it's a huge game between the ego and the soul that the child keeps playing. You know, and the children do this from the moment they're born, when they cry. And then they claim, and then they check our boundaries every second since they're born. They check how much they can take from us, because this is the way that ego works. And what is vital for us is to be very, very truthful and to show as much as possible our love, unconditional love, but on the other side, take discipline with that and set healthy boundaries.
So it's actually in a way a lot of the same principles, it's just applying them in a different way.
Yeah, definitely. It's exactly the same, Sam. But because the child-parent relationship is such a close relationship, which of course should never be above the relationship that the partners have.
Right.
It's a secondary relationship, and this is a big mistake that we see very often. So it's such a close relationship that we mirror everything with our children. And it's very easy to do it, Sam. It's very easy to do it. If you're not watching from above yourself, it's so easy to do it, and it's so easy to judge other parents for being wrong and not be able to see our own mistakes. Right. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And it is interesting how it's very easy to almost, when you have a child in the mix in a relationship, to make everything about the child. And then the relationship between the parents kind of gets lost because it's overly focused on the child, as opposed to making the most important relationship in your life your partner. You make it the child, and that can lead to trouble.
It definitely leads to trouble because without, you know, this is what we keep saying, without the partners, there's no family.
Ah,
so
yeah.
A child and a mother or a child and a father is no family. A family is two partners. And if a child comes along, that's amazing. But this is a family. It's two partners. So this is important to keep in mind. Yeah. And we have a whole chapter in our book that is going to be released on the 11th of November. In Create Love, 7 Secrets to Manifest Your Perfect Match. At the end, there's a whole chapter on the basis of healthy relationships that you can apply in every single relationship that we have in our lives.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it was great having both of you on the show today. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program. If people want to get the book when it's released on the 11th, or if they want to find out more about either of you, Jill and Nicholas, how can they do that? What would be the easiest way for people to find you?
In createlovethebook.com, createlovethebook.com. They can find everything, you know, the ways that they can get the book from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the other international sellers. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud of this because Create Love is a number one awarded bestseller. It was number one for several months in Greece and Cyprus, and now it's being launched in English, and we're looking forward to touching. Our goal is to touch over 10 million people to create healthy relationships throughout the globe. So we would love, you know, if your readers get the book, to get their feedback and what their challenges are. We've been getting thousands of letters since the past 9 months that the book has been released in Greek. Many people have contacted us, so we're looking forward to receive any challenges that people have from all over the globe now in English.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Nicholas. It's been a pleasure having you on the show as well.
Yes, and same for me. I will be glad to discuss all these topics and these situations. And, of course, true love exists.
Yes, true love exists. And again, that website is createlovethebook.com. Jill, Nicholas, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, and I look forward to reading the book myself. So everybody,
thank you,
you're welcome. You're welcome. Everybody, take care. You've been listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, it's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic.
Dude.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.